All right, if you'd open up to Exodus chapter 34. And I'll pare this message down, and I'm going to dovetail it with kind of what Topher said. What Topher said, more or less, is when you get around the sun too long, it has an effect on you. Doesn't it?
Amen.
Look at me. Look at me. I brought a hat. Look at me. Hey, in Exodus chapter number 34, you find a man here by the name of Moses, and you know what he's done? He's spent some time with God. Moses has spent some time with God. Topher said, even Mike's arms, even my face. As Moses spent some time with God, his facial features were changed. And that's what you and I need to be. We don't need to be this wormy worm thing crawling around in the drudges of this world. Christianity offers freedom. Christianity offers flight. And you know what the God of this world wants to do? He wants to keep you and I, as saved people, on our way to heaven in bondage. And freedom comes with a price. But we have the inner energies, we have the power of our Creator inside of us. We're not to be the servants of men, but we're to be the servants of God. And that's where the fight comes in, because Satan wanted Adam's dominion in the garden. And Satan wants you to be under his dominion. And the Lord will allow you to be under the dominion of the flesh and the world and the devil if you and I don't make a choice to fight it. You'll go to heaven, but you're going to go to heaven with an upside down smile, and it's not necessary. So what I want to just very briefly this morning touch on is what, like Topher said, is because he spent too much time around the sun, unprotected per se, there was a visual change. And that's available for you and I. And the title of the message today is Spending Time with God. It's the most basic three things that are necessary for the Christian life. And what that is and what you find in this chapter here is Moses spent time in God's precepts. Moses spent time in prayer. And Moses spent time under the preaching of the Word of God. You say, what happened? Moses got changed. He got changed. So read with me if you would please. Exodus chapter 34, verses 29. Oh, down to 35. Moses, just a little backup. If you look at verse 28, Moses was called up to Mount Sinai. And in verse 28, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He was up there to get the second set of commandments, because Moses broke the first tables of commandments because he got mad at the Israelites because of their foolishness. So he's up there in Mount Sinai with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat, didn't drink. The Lord was his sustenance. He was denying his flesh. He was denying himself some so that God could have that part of his life. That's very necessary in the Christian life, to be able to tell that old Adamic nature and to be able to tell your flesh no.
Amen.
If you allow your flesh to run you, you will die. You eat too much sugar, you'll get a toothache. You eat too much sugar, your flesh runs you, you'll get diabetes. And the list goes on and on and on. So Moses was up here and telling his flesh no, and in doing so that's Romans. After you get saved, that's almost the first thing you need to learn that you'll be fought on the rest of your Christian life. Romans 6, 7, and 8, the battle of the flesh and the spirit. You can have victory over the flesh. You can have victory over the things you do that are displeasing to God and steals your peace away. You can have victory over your appetites that aren't pleasing to the Lord and are stealing your time away from Him. You can have victory over those things, but you're given a free will, and out of a heart of love, and out of a heart of charity, and out of a heart of devotion, because as Topher preached at us, as we fell prey to sin and were on our way to hell because of one tree, another man stepped up, which was in the tree of the Garden of Eden, which was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which rendered death to us. Another man stepped up with another tree, which rendered death to him. But by that death on that tree 2,000 years ago, ago at a hill called Calvary. That was life with an empty tomb for us. So out of devotion in our hearts, and according to how the Holy Ghost grows you, one of the first things you have to learn after salvation is your separation and your sanctification. Separation is separating from those things that don't glorify God, but separating unto those things that do glorify God. You know, or you're going to be like Lot. You're going to walk the middle of the road. Your heart's going to still be back in Sodom, but God wants you out of it because you can't get burned because Uncle Abraham was praying for you. That's a lukewarm Christian. A hot Christian is one that separates from those things that's grieving the Spirit of God, but separates unto those things that brings pleasure to God and joy and peace and the fruits of the Spirit, you know? And then it's sanctification. Sanctification is that process where God doesn't... It's easy to get cleaned up on the outside. That's easy. We can fool each other all day long, man. How you doing today? Praise the Lord, I'm wonderful. On the inside, you're just sad as all get out, and you're full of jeopardy and no peace, and you want to go, you know, shoot your big toe off. But we can't see that, kind of, sort of. Sanctification is cleaning the inside up, getting the inside of the temple cleaned up. The Pharisees were worried about the outside. The Lord said, no, I'm more interested on the inside. That's sanctification. And what Moses did right here is he spent time with God and he put his body, he put his flesh on hold. That's the same thing that Jesus did when he was led out by the Spirit into the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he met the devil and he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. You say, am I telling you not to eat for 40 days and 40 nights? No, I'm not saying that. But the lesson is this. When you put that old man on hold and you deprive him a little bit and you starve him a little bit and you put that flesh on hold and you put those desires on hold, and then when you remove that out of you, you've got a void, then you need to fill that void with something that's going to generate love, joy, and peace. Gentleness, goodness, happiness, faith, meekness, temperance, the fruits of the Spirit. You can't just take away, take away, take away and expect to be happy. There ain't going to be nothing there. That's why your Christian life, that's why you have no joy, you have no peace, you have no power, you have no unction, because all you have is a religion of do, 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 don't, do, don't, don't. That's the law. We're not under the law anymore. We're under liberty. It's the same grace that drew you to get saved is the same grace that walks with you through your day as you walk hand in hand with God and fellowship with your Creator. Amen. You have liberty beyond all get out, but we're not to use that liberty in its occasion to the flesh, to obey it in the lust thereof. So, what am I trying to say? Well, that's the message right there. Moses denied himself to spend time with God. Can I meddle just a skosh? Sunday nights we have church. Moses denied himself to spend time with God. Sunday nights. What time is church on Sunday night? 6:30? We have church 6:30. Moses denied himself and went to church at Berean Bible Baptist Church in Hastings, Minnesota. You say, did he? Well, he's in the Bible. The Bible comes. Hey, we've got midweek service at 7. You say, what's it going to take for me to go to midweek service at 7? I got this excuse, I got that excuse. Okay, if they're bona fide, that's between you and the Lord. But listen, Moses denied himself, got out of his circuit, and had time to go to midweek service at 7. You say, well, I have to drive a long way. Well, I live down by Rochester. By the grace of God, I drive up an hour one way to get here. So that's meddling just a little bit. Brothers and sisters, I'm just letting you know, I love you, I praise the Lord, but it's a blessing to come here on a Wednesday night and a Sunday night. You know why? Because you learn the burdens of the people that are in this church. And the family is built more, and the camaraderie is built more. So spending time with God. Just read with me if you would. I'll just touch on these points a little bit, but it's very important to try to deny that old man, try to deny that flesh. That's Romans 6, 7, and 8. That's being crucified with cross and living the crucified life. The more that God has of you, the less the world has of you. Okay, and he'd like to pull us out of this world, but being in the world, but not of the world. And it says there in verse number 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face, like Christopher's, like Topher's, shone while he talked with them. Well, he was around the sun so much, or the very thing that he was around influenced him and affected him, both inwardly and outwardly, in his countenance. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. So you want to know what the job of the preacher or the minister is when you have the power of God on you? It's not to be like water and oil to scare the people away. And that's not what we have in Pastor Grissom, and that's not what we have in the authority of this church. It's not I'm big, big me, little you. It's us. It's my job to approach you. It's my job to get into your bubble. It's my job to discern your spirit and see what you need and see if I can get you out of one mindset into another mindset to get you off the earthly and the carnal to get you thinking heavenward. Amen. Not big me, little you. And that's what they kind of had here with Moses. They were afraid of him. There's no need to be afraid of your preacher. Your preacher is your best asset. Amen. The problem is our pride in that when God deals with us about something, we won't go to the preacher and say, preacher, this is going on. Hey, your preacher is your shepherd. Your preacher is your eternal stock advisor. Amen. And you should go to him. Okay? Now, have some discretion. Don't wear him and his wife out because we need him. Amen? But see, that's how it's supposed to be. That's not how the Apostle Paul was. The Apostle Paul, like Brother Linsky, come right up into your grill and say, how you doing, brother? And try to encourage you. Try to get you to live for God. And the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ. We're to bear our own burdens, but that's our job. So that they were afraid of Moses. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them the commandment and all the Lord that spoken with them in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. They couldn't stand that glory. Moses had been changed so much. It's not like the Lord took one of these new light bulbs and rubbed it on Moses' face. It was just a little part of God that rubbed off onto Amen. Moses. If you could bring a little part of God, and you could bring a little part of God, and you could bring a little part of God, and you could bring a little part of God, we'd have a lot of God in here, amen?
Amen.
Yeah, and the place would shine just a little bit, like a beacon, or it would shine like a lighthouse that's out in the waves and the storms of Hastings, where all these cars and families that we go visit and preach to, when you bring a little bit of God, and you bring a little bit, this church shines, and then those vessels that are out on the sea of life that are fixing to hit the rocks, and they're fixing to perish, and they're fixing to go to hell, and there's divorces that are going to happen, there's children that are out there that are lost, and they're being subjected to all sorts of garbage. If the light could just shine just a little brighter, just a little brighter, they could see their way into the harbor. And that's what Moses had. He was changed. But in verse number 34, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off. Man, he got addicted to it. He got addicted. Moses got addicted to that lifestyle. Moses said, that's what I was doing. See, what you want love, joy, and peace.
Amen.
Now, I have to be PG right here, but you know what love equates in today's? Oh, I love you. You know what that means? It's a three-letter word. Man wants love, joy, and peace his own way. And we've tried them. We've tried to get, and hopefully some of you haven't, but we've tried to get that love. Well, how did that turn out for you? With that three-letter word. That ain't love. That's lust. We try to get joy. It'll make you wiser, right? If you just hang out with the bud. Budweiser. No, you know what it equates? It equates that fine Christian family traveling down the road and that drunkard coming across there and killing them and leaving a mama alone with a daddy gone and four children gone of a beautiful Christian family. Joy? I don't think so. But Budweiser doesn't tell you about all that stuff, do they? No. See, we try to get love, joy, and peace on our own. And that's not the equation. There is a little pleasure in it because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. Oh yeah, it works for a while. But the end of it, at the end of the equal sign, is the equation of death. Moses got addicted to... So here's the message. Moses got addicted to spending time with God. So here it is, right here. Do you see God today? Yeah. Totally out of my notes. Amen. Do you see God today? If you see God, I'm going to come kick you in the shin. You might see the effects of God, but there's no man virtually that's seen God and lived. Jesus Christ was the express image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of God. Jesus Christ was the express image of the invisible God. God's invisible today. And you see, that doesn't equate with you and I because we're Gentiles. We're not Jews. Jews are spiritual. Shem, the Orientals, they're spiritual. We're Gentiles. You know what we do? We like a board, a nail, done, good. We live by sight. And sometimes you say, well, just because I can't see him, that bums me out. But God has given us some physical, tangible things in order for us to get addicted to so that our visage can change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Mark chapter 5, there's a maniac of Gadara. He's naked. He's in the tombs. He's chained. He's cutting himself. He's full of devils. And Jesus Christ comes up to him and those devils say, "Don't torment us before our time. We know who you are." Even the disciples didn't know who Jesus was. "You're the Holy One of God. Don't torment us. And this guy's being tormented beyond measure. Like Halloween, like Freddy Krueger, like Michael out of whatever that show is. That's what this guy was in Mark chapter 5. And Jesus Christ takes that man and casts out those devils. And the Bible says because of his presence and his words, he was able to change the outward appearance and the inward actions of that maniac of Gadara. And when Jesus Christ got done with him, see, Moses got changed by the thing that he hung around. First note, if I dare get into it, I'm going to preach for an hour and a half, but I promise you I won't do that. What you hang around is what you'll become. You hang around, you know, someone like Graham, you'll be a good fisherman. You hang around people that can cook, you'll cook. You hang around a good carpenter, a good tiler, you hang around a good person that can quilt real well. We've got some of those in here. A good seamstress, a good sewer, you hang around that type of thing, that's what you'll become. For with what you hang around rubs off on you, and that's what you become. That's what happened to Moses. He got addicted to it. And by the time Jesus Christ was done with that maniac of Gadara, that man was, he was clothed, he was naked before, he was seated, and he's not jumping around anymore. The Bible says no man could tame him, no man could tame him or bind him or whatever. He had supernatural strength. When he got around Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he was clothed, he was seated, and he was in his right mind. The Bible says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." You know, when you, so the points of the day are, and then not only that, but that maniac of Gadara, you know what he wanted to do with Jesus? When Jesus was about to go, he was about to leave, and the maniac said, thank you, I'm changed, thank you, oh, thank you, you know, hallelujah. He was just having a fit there, and the Lord walked away, and the Lord, "What are you doing?" Go back. "What are you doing following me?" "Well, I want to go with you, Lord." He wanted to be where Jesus was. Amen. Why? Because of so much. He had tried so many things in his life to find satisfaction. He had tried money. He had tried jobs. He had tried everything under the sun, which is never new. And then when he came in contact with the Word of God, when he came in contact with Jesus, when he came in contact with his words, all he wanted to do was just be in his presence. And the Lord said, "Look, there's been a great work done here today, and I'm going to send you back to your own hometown. No Bible school, no church camp, just one intersection, just one altercation with the Word of God, with Jesus Christ, one day." And the Lord said, "Now you're changed. You're going to go back, and you're going to be a huge blessing, and you're going to be a testimony of my grace and of my power, and I want you to go back and tell your family and friends what the Lord hath done for you."
Amen. Amen.
That's still going on today, 2020, August, whatever it is. The Lord's not done doing that. That type of power That type of grace is still available today. And you and I just have to submit and tap into it. Right here, Moses was addicted to that. And you and I mean, what is it about these Christians that have gone 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years? What do they have? They're still living in the same world that I am. They're still battling the same battles that I am. What's keeping them going? What's keeping a Melva Jane going? How old is she? 80? What?
87?
You young kids, you got that vested inside of you? Do you have that investment? You're going to need it. You're going to need it. Moses was addicted. He didn't want that light to wear off. And Moses now is leading his influence of one man, maybe plus Aaron. His influence, one man, is leading 3 million people.
Wow.
That's a huge influence. Why? Just because he spent time with God's precepts. Here it is. This is 101. He spent time in the Word of God. This book has something that comes off of it that cleanses you. This book can make you laugh. This book can make you cry. Listen, this book can cause you to leave a $100,000 a year job and go to a place where clean water is a luxury. That's a powerful book. This book has the power to deal with someone that's 5 years old and get their eternity changed. This book has the power to deal with someone that's poor and has nothing and get their eternity changed. It's got the power to deal with a millionaire. It's got the power to deal with someone old. This is a very powerful book.
Amen.
And when Moses spent time with the precepts of God and the things that God said to Moses, that was what rubbed off on him and changed his countenance. Your country was started with this book, Americans. You know how ignorant of this book I am? Sorry to have to say it. I'll be as transparent as possible. How about you? And let me ask you something. Shouldn't you be angry because someone has stolen the principles and the blessings away from you because of our ignorance of this book?
Amen.
You say, how can you say that? Because that's self-application. And you ought to be mad at the person that stole that away from you. Because this thing can increase your power, it can increase your fellowship, it can increase your joy, and it can change your countenance, and it can free you.
Yes.
And that's just exactly what the God of this world knows. Moses' countenance was changed because he spent time with the precepts. Hey, listen, God called to Moses. God changed Moses. And there was something else too. Or charged Moses. God called Moses. God charged Moses. And Moses' presence was changed. You say, by what? By the Lord's precepts. And I guess, I mean, again, this is 101. How much time do you spend in the Word of God? Hey, do you want your countenance changed? Do you want power in the Christian life? You see, what I'm talking about here is you say, well, I can't see God. I can't see Him either, and it bums me out. When I got a flat tire, when I got a bill that can't be paid, when I got something that's going on, it's like, hey, where are you at? Right? 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 That's it. I can't see you. You're not doing it for me. God, you could have stopped this. Where are you at? He's not tangible right now. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, for God seeketh such to worship Him in that way. God's not tangible. It's not God's fault. God has given us some tangible things that we can lay our hands on in order to spend time with God and allow our countenance to be changed.
Amen.
And I ask myself, how much time do I spend in it? How consistent am I with it? That's true. It's true. You say that pricks me just a little bit. That's good. It's very good. All I'm saying is Moses spent time with the precepts and it changed him. And then it caused others to change because they saw the change in him. The definition of insanity is doing something over and over and over again with failure and expecting the same outcome. Moses spent time in prayer. Prayer is in talking with God. The precepts are tangible. Although God is invisible, the precepts are tangible.
Yes.
Prayer is tangible. And notice, was Moses up with God with a lot of people? He was alone, wasn't he?
Amen.
You and I don't like to be alone because there's safety in numbers. But Moses was alone. And in order for your countenance to change, and in order for you to be changed, and in order to have power with God, you have got to get alone with God. You've got to carve out some time every day to spend time with God, this invisible God. You've got to, with this tangible thing, you've got to carve out time. And what do I want to say? You've got to spend the time to get a good investment back on your time and spend time with God in the precepts. I'll embarrass one of the campers in here. Every morning we would get up, and oftentimes I'd get up and he'd be in his upper bunk. Even if the lights were off, he'd have this book open. I was a teenager. Why? Because his mommy told him to? Because his dad held a stick over him? He was drawn, something's drawn that teenager to do that.
Okay.
He was addicted. It's done something for him. But that tangible thing, Moses spent time with God in prayer. He talked with God. He communed with God. He was alone. And that's something that's tangible that can be done. And communing with God and praying to God. You say, well, it just doesn't, reading the Bible and praying, it just doesn't seem to work, so I'm just not going to do it anymore. Well, that's not how you treat a new relationship. When you meet somebody the first time, it's not like you're going to, you know, jump in their Ferrari and go, or their car and be family with them and, you know, go stay overnight with them the first time you meet them. It takes a few times of spending time together and trying it and trying the other one out and seeing what happens. That's how Bible reading is. That's how prayer is. I don't understand a lot of that Old Testament. You get me into Ezekiel, hoops and a hoop and a color and a hoop and a ring and a seraphim and a cherubim. There's a lot of the book I don't understand, but that doesn't mean I don't read it. Because I know when I read the book, I get something out of it. I get cleansed. My spirit gets cleansed. I'm fellowshipping with God. It gives me light. The Bible says the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. So something tangible to spend time with God and to get your countenance changed, that would be not only the precepts, but prayer. Moses spent time with God individually, alone, in prayer. Again, this is just 101, but I would ask you, how much time on a daily basis? You say, Brother Jim, this is 101. Are you kidding me? Bible reading, 101. I mean, we talked to the kids in the whatchamahoozy back there, you know, for the smaller classes. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray to God. And then you need to be in church. It's 101 basic, but I'd ask you, hey, are you drawn to God in prayer? Is your prayer closet dark, or is your prayer closet full of light? You know, if you look at that word prayer, it's got a P. Again, Brother Roger, this is my very, K through 6 type of theology. When it comes to prayer, you look at that word prayer, it's spelled P, and that's not a PH, sister. It's or back there, sister. That's not a PH, thank you. That's an inside joke for a little game we play. What's that game called? Catchphrase? Is that it? Yeah.
Categories.
What?
Categories.
Prayer is spelled P-R-A-Y. Now, let me take that P off of there just for a moment, and then you've got one word there that says Ray. And do you know that when you get into your prayer closet, or you get by your bed and whatever, and you pray and you spend some quiet time with God, and you don't have anything else to do. You've got a lot of things else to do, but you've carved out this time. Maybe it's before the beginning of the day. Maybe it's in the middle of the day. Maybe it's all the way through the day. Maybe it's at the end of the day. I don't know when you pray, but you've just set aside this time between you and God, and you get on your knees, and you're fellowshipping with God, and you're praising God, and you're communing with God, and you're asking God for things, and you're asking for your other other brothers and sisters for things, and all of a sudden, things start generating and a ray starts to come up. That ray out of praise starts to come up and it gets a hold of heaven as a little beacon or as a little light. It gets God's attention and God goes, you say, prove it. Hey man, out there where the sun is at, don't them things come down like that? And you go, ooh. You know what heaven does when you pray? God goes, ooh, that's an act of faith. Hey, maybe I'm going to pay attention to that. You say, what is that? That's just something tangible. When you have an invisible God, spending time with God, that's just something tangible. See, it's not virtually, it's not really that hard. It just takes the effort and it just takes the heart. And I will, as far as illustration goes, I'll tell you this. My uncle led me to the Lord, as I mentioned to you by way of testimony, but I was in a church service, Pastor Bart Obedian, down in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, just in a little place. In the morning, he preached, you need to go into your closet, Matthew chapter 5, and close the door and pray. That was the message. I was a 10-year-old boy, and that's all I got. That night, he preached, you need to make Jesus Christ the captain of your ship. So you know what I did? I went home. I got in my closet with them stinky shoes and moved them clothes away that were hanging there. I got into my closet and I asked Jesus Christ to be the captain of my ship. And that's something tangible. And I have an illustration here very briefly. It says, one Sunday night in April 1912, an American woman was very weary, yet could not sleep because of an oppression of fear. At last she felt a burden of prayer and with tremendous earnestness began to pray for her husband. Then in the mid-Atlantic, homeward bound on the Titanic, as the hours went by, she could get no assurance and kept on praying in agony until about 5 o'clock in the morning when a great peace possessed her and she slept. Meanwhile, her husband, Colonel Gracie, was among the doomed hundreds who were trying frantically to launch the lifeboats from the great ship whose vitals had been torn out by the iceberg. He had given up all hope of being saved himself and was doing his best to help the women and children. He wished that he could get at least a message through to his wife and cried from his heart, "Goodbye, my darling." Then as the ship plunged to her watery grave, he was sucked down in the giant whirlpool. Instinctively, he began to swim underwater, ice cold as it was, the water was hitting his heart. Suddenly he came to the surface, found himself near an overturned lifeboat, along with several others, climbed aboard and was picked up after another lifeboat in about five in the morning, the very time that the peace came to the praying wife. Supplication. And she battled for him in prayer. And they both, as husband and wife, he lived. Why? Because there was somebody praying. Say, what's prayer? Something that's tangible. Something that gets you a hold of an invisible God. Something that can change your presence in order to be able to spend time with God. So in closing, I'll say this. Another tangible thing that God's given us in order to reveal himself to us, the Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, that God hath in due time manifested his word through preaching. Through preaching. I'll give you this note right here, trying to wind it up. The preaching of the Word of God. A man said one time, preaching is a manifestation of the incarnate Word from the written Word by the spoken Word. It's also said that a holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. In closing, I'm done. Thank you for your attention. It's 20 after. Preaching is the thing that God uses in a tangible way that you place yourself under, that your life, like Moses, that you spend time with God over a course of time. I've been, by the grace of God, under preaching for 30 years, and over the course of time, like the Rock Gibraltar or whatever, water, they say, is a very extreme force, and you can agree with me as well that if water falls for a long period of time on a super hard concrete, it changes its surface. It changes that concrete. That's how preaching is. When you subject yourself to good Bible-believing preaching, you says, it makes me mad. It says, it makes me angry. Good. It's what it's supposed to do.
Amen.
so that you can get turned around, so that your mindset can now be turned to what God has to say and what God wants you to do, so that you can find that you can get the peace that God has for you. And that's what Moses stood under as God talked to him and preached at him, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And there was a change in Moses' countenance.